I am PLO Lumumba here at the Marube Dam here in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, here in the continent of Africa, and we continue our conversations around the political philosophies of Africa. The third philosophy of politics that one can discern is to be found at two levels, and they are not very divergent. And it comes as a result of a very unique model of colonization. It has been argued that the Portuguese model of colonization was very different. And the Portuguese colonized in the continent of Africa, what is now Mozambique, Angola, Guinea-Bissau, and Cabo Verde. And the most interesting thing about the Portuguese colonies, and Samora Machel said it very clearly, that at one time he had some people arguing. He says, we were colonized by the French, and therefore we are a little better. We were colonized by the British, therefore we are a little better. You are colonized by the Portuguese, the most backward nation in the continent of Europe. Therefore, you cannot compare yourself with us. And Samora said, how can slaves argue that one slave master was better than the other? And he argued that the Portuguese model of colonization was very pernicious. And that is why, therefore, you discover that in the early days, all the Portuguese colonies had to go through very long struggles for independence. That was true of Mozambique with Mondlane and Machel and his colleagues. That was true of Angola with Agostinho Neto and Jonas Savimbi and Holden Roberto. That was true of Guinea-Bissau with Amilcar Cabral. And many of them in their formative stages, therefore, because they were guerrilla fighters, gravitated at that time towards the Soviet Union and China. And that formed their political philosophy fuse with some Africanism and Pan-Africanism. It is therefore noteworthy that many of the former freedom fighters in the political formations that were created in the Portuguese colonies were characterized, particularly by the Westerners, as communists, because they were saying that what we see happening in China, what we see happening in the Soviet Union, which is being characterized as communism, is not very far from what we were doing in our African societies, diverse as we were. I can therefore characterize this third political philosophy, which was articulated, in my view, better than anybody else by Samora Moises Machel, as communalism rather than communism. And that is why Samora said very famously, that for the new nation to survive, the tribe must die. What was his argument? That if we allowed feudalistic ethnic tendencies to dominate political discourse, then what is going to happen is that countries are going to disintegrate on the basis of ethnic affiliation. He therefore argued, we must create an environment where we organize people around their ability. And that is why the freedom fighting movements in many of these countries then converted in popular movements. You see that with Frelimo. You see that with MPLA in Angola. You see that with UNPPG in Guinea-Bissau and Cabo Verde, although these were to change when the leaders were eliminated. But the animation at this time is once again very similar to Nkrumah's articulation, very similar to Nyerere's articulation, and they are simply saying one thing. We want a governance system where the people are at the center. We want a governance system where the resources of the people, which until now has been controlled by the colonizers and a few of their lackeys, are used for the benefit of the people. And that is why he is calling this communalism. that in the same way that we lived in the villages where we shared the grazing lands, in the same way where we cared for our neighbor, in the same way where we took care of each other, we took care of the sick, in the same way where education was meant to give character and morality to the people, in a system such as this, we will give meaning to the concept of what is now characterized as Ubuntu. I am because you are, and you are because I am. There is no parasitism. There is no capitalism. There is no desire to have what to possess that which you do not need. There is no desire to privatize that which is public. There is no desire to privatize public problems. The dominant desire to ensure that the resources of the people are used for the general good in matters as critical as who controls the factors of production. It is the state, and the state exists for the purposes of doing that which is in the interest of the people. And the interest of the people demands that those who are in positions of leadership are trustees, and whatever they own and use for the benefit of the people. And when we relate with other Africans, we are going to relate with them as brothers. And he's articulating this, particularly Samora Machel, saying, remember, when we were struggling, who housed us? We were housed in Zambia. We were housed in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. We were housed in different parts of the continent of Africa. And this idea that we have visas and that we have borders which stand in our way towards trade is alien to our system of communalism. So that communalism, as articulated by Samora Machel, is therefore a system of governance which has domestic components, and it has also international components, and it has pan-African components. And one sees, therefore, a common thread in these African philosophies. And this common thread is pan-Africanism, which then begs the question, what is pan-Africanism? Which must be understood at different levels. The first meaning of pan-Africanism is that persons of African descent, wherever they are in the world, have a duty to the mother continent. Number two, that pan-Africanism means and must be understood to mean that the resources of the continent of Africa, both human and natural, must be deployed for the benefit of the people of Africa. And number four, that Africans must be schooled to have self-esteem, and that when they are relating with one another or relating with each other or to each other, whichever the preposition that one chooses to use, they must relate in a manner that underlines and defines that they are people who deserve and are worthy of respect. And if that be the case, Pan-Africanism must also be a system of governance that allows the deployment of people's ability and people's resources so that issues such as poverty cease to exist, issues such as inability to take one's care of one's affairs disappear, that issues such as conflict are mediated in a manner that is true to the customs and traditions of the people. And in that regard, they are also saying that there are many elements of African culture which had been jettisoned by the colonizer. They must now be mainstreamed. And if you look even at the early thinking of people like Robert Mugabe, people like Sobukwe, people like Ahmed Sekou Touré, and individuals such as Kenneth Kaunda, you can see that they too can be grouped under this concept of communalism. Their political history, by dint of colonization notwithstanding, one can see that this was the road that they were taking. So what emerges through an examination of African political philosophies is the recognition by African politicians that there is one thing that is a thread which is common to all of them, and that thing can only be Ubuntu. That thing can only be the realization that we all are interrelated and interconnected. That thing can only mean that the resources of the nation and the patrimony of the nations can and must be, can and should be and must be used for the benefit of the people, and that therefore, in true African philosophy, when you are dealing with conscientiousism or Nkrumahism as articulated by Osagyefo Nkrumah, or you are dealing with Ujamaa as articulated by Julius Kambarage Nyerere, or communalism as articulated by Samora Moses Machel and embraced by all those other leaders, you see this common thread which is saying we are Pan-Africanists, a common thread which is saying we are one, a common thread which is saying that we are equal, a common thread which is saying that our societies are egalitarian, a common thread which is saying that Africans, wherever they are in the continent of Africa, ought to embrace systems of governance which are not foreign, a common thread which is saying that we must have a borderless Africa, a common thread which you see being articulated and leading to the creation of Organization of African Unity, now the African Union, a common thread which is now giving legitimacy to some of the actions that are being taken through modern day initiatives such as Africa Agenda 2063, a common thread that is now giving impetus to latter day ideas such as Africa Continental Free Trade Area, a common thread which is giving new meaning to the entire concept of Ubuntu, a common thread which says that Africans are Africans and that they deserve their systems of governance that can borrow from other civilizations but have a separate and a distinct DNA. And that DNA is equality, it is brotherliness and sisterhood. That is a summation of what can be characterized as African political philosophies, however defined and understood. Thank you very much. We have covered to the extent that is necessary African philosophies, but we continue our conversation about the continent of Africa, and we shall continue this debate. Thank you very much.